Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to this Thursday's Soul Blog Talk Radio show. I hope that this show finds all those that are affected by the cold weather in a warm spot. This evening we will actually be featuring for the very first time our first male Soul Blog Talk Radio guest. He goes by the name of Idris Bolton. To give you a little bit of information about Mr. Bolton, he was born in the city of Philadelphia. He was raised in a single-parent home by his father. As a young teenager, Idris spent the majority of his time home alone, which left him to make decisions on his own. This was due to his father having to work unruly hours to provide for him and his son. As time went on, like many teen boys today, Idris began to engage with young girls, but this was the norm at his age. Idris graduated from Simon Gratz High School in 2006. Soon after, Idris was confronted by his father and pushed into manhood at the age of 17. He was told it was time for him to become a man, his own money. Being propelled into the world, Idris worked a few mundane jobs. Soon after, he realized that he wanted more, and if he was going to get it, he needed to step out and take a chance. As a result, he began to do promotions for local planners, and 6 months later, Idris was producing his own events. Each of these events had a minimum of 2,500 people in attendance. In 2008, Idris booked his first major recording artist, Nicki Minaj. With the success of that event wrapped tightly under his belt, Idris began to promote events for big names such as P. Diddy, Fabulous, Meek Mill, Monica, Mario, Pleasure P, Young Money, Tyga, Drake, and Lil Wayne, just to name a few. He gained fame, money, and great success, and that which brought him lots of women, as well as enemies. Idris didn't hold back on taking advantage of every opportunity he had to be with women who were willing to give themselves to him. Yet, there was one who captured his heart. She was a childhood friend whom he had great bond with before the success. They soon began to build a relationship, but this didn't stop him from stepping out when he wanted to, living on the mountaintop. He was successful, had the girl he wanted, plus a few extras. Life was good in his eyes, but he was unprepared for what was to come next in his life. With hopes of becoming closer to his father, Idris began to study Islam. Even in his studying, he still sought for the truth, praying every night and asking God to show who you are. On the other end, his girlfriend was pursuing a relationship with Christ and began speaking to him about Christianity and how they needed to practice abstinence. This created chaos in their relationship. The enemies that Idris gained during his uprising began to plot against him in a more violent way. Idris soon found himself as a big target for thieves and jealous men out for blood, not only facing problems in the city that made him successful, but also with the girl he loved, and his relationship with his father was getting worse. Adding more to his load, Idris learned that he had a child on the way with a woman outside of his relationship. With all that being overwhelming for his girlfriend at the time, she decided to leave Idris and relocate to Mississippi. Idris found himself with just him and God. He received an invitation to go to church. First, he was reluctant about going because that wasn't his custom, but made the decision to go anyway. After all, what else did he have to lose? Idris explained his experience as divine. It was the best thing he ever experienced, speaking directly to him. That day, Idris accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now, He was on a mission to get his girlfriend back, but she was still unwilling to be with him. She was pursuing a great relationship with Christ and was unsure if going backwards was still working. Was unsure if going backwards was the move God wanted her to make. So Idris spent this time alone getting to know the Lord. While still working in the field of event planning and promoting, Idris still faced problems and temptations from women. Some temptations were stronger than others. There were nights Idris would find women in the throng on his newfound faith. Admitting that he so desperately wanted to have sex, but his desire to please God was stronger, he would soon leave the field of event planning and promotions of wild parties with secular artists. Idris says during his last event, he looked out amongst the crowd and began to ask himself, how can I explain this to God? How could he explain producing an event where people were able to get intoxicated that night? He called it quits. He walked away from a lucrative industry that made him from $5,000 to $30,000 an event to serve the Lord. Today, Idris is in a loving relationship with his former girlfriend. This time around, their foundation is Christ. Together, they desire to be an example that they can live holy within a relationship. Idris also sends out daily devotions to thousands of people, helping them live better lives, presently writing his first book on the topics of love, sex, and relationships. He also serves at his local church as a youth and young adult leader while still offering daily advice to people through his social media pages, which has over 50,000 followers. The greatest of his accomplishments, is being a loving father to his son, Israel. Idris's passions are to teach people how to have healthy relationships first with God, then themselves, and finally with others. Teaching people how to live purpose-filled lives and avoid people like the person he wants on operating and still focusing on operating a successful business, and most of all, sharing with others the love of Christ. So, ladies and gentlemen, if that alone does not give you the opportunity to want to be on this call, whether or not it is through Skype, or whether or not it is through calling in, I don't know what else would want you to know and hear the words of such an individual such as Idris Bolton. In a few minutes, we will be joined by that voice, that phenomenal man of God, Idris Bolton. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you are definitely ready to hear the story of this gentleman, just wait. Just wait for it, because it is indeed coming. And when Mr. Bolton comes on for the blog show, I hope that you all have your questions ready, have your comments ready. And I hope that whatever words that he provides to the show this evening will definitely intrigue your mind. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further pause, I plan to introduce Mr. Idris Bolton. Of course, I believe that the computer itself is having its own set of issues, but we will not allow the devil to at all interrupt what God himself is saying is going to be the most positive interview thus far. There will be just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. If you are near a computer, and if you are a list of subscriber of Facebook or Instagram, I ask that you also look up Idris Bolton so that you can follow him on these social media sites as well, so that even after this evening, you will have the opportunity to continue to receive the knowledge individual. And my apologies definitely for the technical difficulties. It is always amazing on how we have everything planned out and things don't necessarily go as we want them to. So it will be just a few more minutes. As we make attempts to get Mr. Bolton on the line, he is patiently waiting, and we do appreciate his patience. And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you are subscribers of Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, you can find him at Idris Bolton is I-D-R-I-S, and last name is spelled Bolton, B-O-L-T-O-N. Again, that's Idris, I-D-R-I-S, Bolton, B-O-L-T-O-N. And it should, again, be just a few more minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, Mr. Bolton. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I am well. I think my computer decided that it wants to be cold like it is outside. How's the weather there in Philly?
Cold, super cold.
Oh, my. So I have taken the opportunity to introduce you to the Blog Talk Radio Souls of fellow listeners. If you could please take the opportunity as well to share just a little bit more of who Idris Bolton is.
Oh, man. It sounded like, I was sitting there listening to you. It was funny because I said, she sounded like a minister from my church. She sounded like a poet. It's just Idris Bolton. And I was laughing. It was funny, though. But you have a nice voice.
Oh, thank you. I try what I was listening.
What else could I say about myself? You really pretty much explained everything about myself. I just have a heart for people. I just have a heart for people, and I just want to share God's love with people. I want people to understand their self-worth. I just want people to live the best life they can possibly live.
Now, I don't know how many male callers or how many female callers we actually have on the line. We will actually get the opportunity to open it up to those that are listening. But I will tell you, this is a definite soul's first to have a male come on and share his perspective. And, you know, the interesting thing for me is that with the world that we live in right now, to find a man that believes so strongly in, you know, no sex before marriage, that to me is amazing. And I wanted the opportunity to make sure that my listeners had the opportunity to hear what got you to that point. Because from my understanding, you know, you were Muslim at the time, correct?
I wasn't Muslim. I was studying Islam.
Okay, so you're studying Islam, and then, mm-hmm. you know, with the love of your life, as well as, you know, I think you had some type of consciousness about what decision you needed to make. What was the drive to make you change your thought process?
About sex?
Just overall, you know, I understand, you know, you have a child out of wedlock, but yet you knew that despite all these other women in your life, you knew the one that you wanted to be with.
And so you're asking me, like, what made me change my mind about, as far as, like, what made me change my life around?
Yes.
All right. Well, what do I want to start at? Well, the conversation, well, it all started when I had a conversation with my girlfriend. This was before I got saved. One day, this was during the time I was studying Islam. One day we was in the car and I was telling her about how I was studying Islam and how I was about to turn Muslim. So she started telling me about Jesus, and I'm like, I really don't want to hear nothing about no Jesus. The only thing my focus was, once I turn Muslim, me and my dad is going to have a close relationship, and here she is telling me about Jesus. So later on that day, she went to sleep and woke up and had a dream and told me everything about everything that I was doing at that time that I didn't tell anybody. Now, I wasn't close to that many people because the money I was making, and I knew that a lot of people were trying to rob me, so I kept to myself. So I was trying to figure out how could she possibly know that. So that was the first time I had a thought like Jesus just might be real, because at the time she was teaching me about sex and how spiritual it was, and I would listen, but it would go in one ear and out the other. So 3 weeks later, another girl that I was dealing with had the same dream. I said, no way. So right there at that moment, when she after she told me the dream. For the next 2 months, I began to just pray and ask God. I said, God, look, I don't know Allah the way. I don't know Jesus the way. I don't know Buddha the way. It's all these different religions. I need you to really show me which way is the way. And within them 2 months, every night I was going to sleep, I was just praying, asking God. And then it happened in the most weirdest way. That's when my girlfriend went down Mississippi. And then after being down there, she said that we couldn't be together. So I'm like, what? That kind of broke me. So around the time, that's when her mom called me and said, come to church. I'm like, come to church? Why should I come to church? It was weird because I was actually on my way to make about a couple $1,000 that day. So I was just like, let me just go. So I walk into the church. So I start feeling better. I'm like, why do I feel better? I didn't grow up in church. I never went to church. Only time I've been to went to church was for 2 funerals I went to. So when I walk into the church, praise and worship team, they sing and doing their thing. And I'm like, what in the world? I got up and started singing these songs like I wrote them. I never in my life heard these songs. So when the pastor came out, it was like he was talking directly to me. And I'm looking at her mom like, yo, why are you telling him my business? She's talking about I didn't even get a chance to talk to him yet. So it was just like, wow. So what happened was after that, that's when he did the altar call. And I just felt this presence, just this presence just lead me to go out there. So I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And right after that, I was going to church every Sunday. So what happened was one time now, me and my dad didn't have a close relationship at all. Like, we lived together, but we wasn't close. We didn't have them type conversations, father-son conversations. We would talk when it was necessary. So one day, we just ended up having this conversation. He just ended up telling how he loved me. And it was just amazing. It was just like a conversation. I got saved when I was 21. I wanted to have this conversation for as long as I can remember. And now here it is, I'm having this conversation with my dad. He's just pouring out his heart towards me and just telling me how he cared about me. So right after that conversation, I was walking in the hallway, and this presence hit me so hard to the point I started I couldn't even walk. So this presence was so beautiful. I made it to my bed, and I just laid there, and this presence was just so heavy on me. That's it. And that's when I knew right there that Jesus Christ was Lord, and I knew that I found the answer to my prayer. And then as time went on, I just began to feel his presence again and again and again. And again. And I just began to learn to develop his voice and understand when he, and learn when he was speaking to me. So That a little later after that, that's when I stopped doing events. I had another event, and I looked at the event, and I seen people dancing and just pretty much just drinking, doing all them type of things. And I said, I can't continue to do this. So that's when I stopped doing events. And I didn't know how I was going to get money. I didn't know anything. I just knew that I couldn't do this. So in the midst of that, what happened after that? Oh. So I didn't have no way to get money or any sort. So there would be times I just need money. It could be gas money. It could be cell phone money. People would just walk up to me and say, "God laid this on my heart to give it to you." And I'm like, "Wow!" And I was just talking to God, like, "God, I need to pay my cell phone." And people would just come up and people were just giving me this money out of nowhere. So in the midst of that, I was just building my relationship with God. And in a short period of time, in the first 2 weeks when I did get saved, there was women, like you read in my bio, there were multiple women popping up in the back of my house just trying to have sex. And the amazing part about that was I prayed and I said, "God, I'm going to keep myself into marriage." Right after that, that's when I got phone calls back to back to back. I'm coming over. And I'm like, no. So people just begin to beep the horn. Beep, beep, beep. I'm outside. Come on, let's just do this one more time. And I turn the lights off and just go to sleep. There's one girl I knew, we was really close, and she was drunk one time, and she was around some guys, and I really, really wanted to get her away because I didn't want her to get raped or anything. So I called the cab, allowed her to come here. So the minute she get in here, she tried to have sex with me. So I went downstairs and slept downstairs. So soon morning time came, I just let out and just let her go home. And I just was serious. I was just, I really wanted to please God, and I just really, because I knew I found the true and living God, and I just wanted to do everything I possibly could to please Him. Is that enough for you? Hello?
I'm here.
Hello?
I'm here.
Was that enough for you, or?
Well, no, don't ever hesitate to share your story. You know, it's an amazing thing to hear a man, you know, not to say that a man can't do this, but for you to say that you had the opportunity to continue to step out and you did something differently. So that is commendable. And, I mean, you had all opportunity to do whatever you wanted to do with that young lady, and you still continued to stand by what you wanted to do for yourself. So are you still, I guess, running that path now?
Yes. It's officially been 4 years now. I haven't had any sexual relations at all. I've been saved for 4 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And some people say, "How? How do you do it? How?" Some people, like, do I have my struggles? Yes. I wake up in the morning and I want to have sex. I'm not going to. The feelings are there, or the hormones, they're there. But I renew my mind. If you remember, I dedicated myself to God. Like the Bible says, present your body as a living sacrifice. And that's what I do. I present myself to God so that He can use me. And I want nothing to get in the way of that. See, me keeping myself is tied into me wanting to please God. I just want nothing more than God just to use me, love people through me. But if I'm out here taking advantage of women, I'm not. That's not God. That's the devil.
So how do you deal with those urges? Like, what can you suggest for those that are single that may still, you know, have that struggle?
It's really boiled down to the mind, meaning. If you, before you have a feeling, it's first a thought. Before we do anything, before we do any type of action, it's first a thought. So what happens is now that you gotta pull down that thought. You might see, I don't know, the enemy will bring back a thought of some female with a big butt. Whatever it is that turns you on, you have to begin to renew your mind and tell yourself, no, that's not worth it. Because what the enemy is trying to do is he's trying to produce a feeling, because he knows if he can get you in your emotions, he got you, because your emotions don't care about the truth. Your emotions just want to be pleased. And we as people, we can't live by emotions, because if we live by emotions, we're just going to be all over the place, because emotions go up and down, up and down. One minute you feel this way, then another minute you feel that way. So you got to begin to learn the truth of things. I begin to learn why I shouldn't have sex outside of marriage. I begin to understand the spiritual part of it. I'll give you a short story. When I was in the world, I dealt with masturbation really, really, really bad. So, and what I did was, Once I got saved, I went back and I was able to talk to a few people that had such relations in the past. So come to find out, I learned that whoever I would have sex with, they will begin to deal with masturbation really bad. Why? Because that's the spirit that I dealt with, the spirit of masturbation. So when you have sex with somebody, now that spirit is transferring to other people. You see, so say if you had sex with one person that got low self-esteem, you had sex with another person that got anger issues, you got had sex with another person that got problems with their mind. So now when you have sex with that person, that spirit transfers itself to you. Hello?
So that's an interesting thought. You're saying that those that you are intimate with, because of that bond, you take on some of their behavioral characteristics?
Yes. And as far as I just recently learned that oxytocin, that's what it's called. I'm sorry, I'm pronouncing it wrong. It's called oxytocin. But anyways, science just proved this. You can look it up too. It shows that whenever a female has sex with a man, there's a chemical release. This is the same chemical that's released when a woman breastfeeds her newborn child. It creates a bond, right? And that's the same chemical that's released when you have sex with a man. You create that bond. So what happens now is now this bond is formed, and now when he breaks up, and now when he leaves you, it literally feels like he's ripping away. You feel torn because you created a bond outside of marriage. This is why God says wait until marriage, because God knows that he created that chemical so that you can be able to be bonded to your husband. But if you had sex outside of marriage, and then here you are, you're having sex with this person, having sex with that person. Now, science has proven the more sex partners a female has, the less that chemical is released. So now, by the time you do find the one who really does love you, the chemical is no longer released because you have so many different sex partners.
So how would that work? And you know, I'm a realist. So some of the things I talk about, you know, are personal to me. That's why I love having this blog, because it gives my listeners the opportunity to learn a bit about me. I struggle with the flesh. I have no issues in saying that out loud. How does that work if indeed the individual that you are dealing with is the same person you've been dealing with for a long time? Like, does that still apply? You're dealing with the same person. Say you've been dealing with that same person intimately for over a year or over mm-hmm. 2 years. Are you saying, even though, you know, I may not be sleeping around or whomever else may not be sleeping around, even though I continue to deal with this person outside of marriage, if I'm understanding it correctly, are you saying that I will, or she will, or he will continue to pick up these behavioral?
Yes. You're saying like that's sexual, right?
Right.
Right. Yes.
So if that person has
like
a drinking issue, then you'll pick up their drinking habits just from being intimate or being around them for that period of time.
Yes. Because it's like this, the Bible says, it's like this, God brings two people together who has his Holy Spirit, because once they got the Holy Spirit, God can speak to them and teach them how to be together, right? And the Word of God says God is looking for more godly offspring, but godly offspring cannot be produced if you have two different people or two different spirits. You understand what I'm saying?
But what if the two of you feel that you have the same spirit? Even outside of marriage, maybe someone's not ready for that type of a relationship with someone.
It really boils down to your lifestyle. If you want to have a lifestyle that want to please God, or you really want to just have a lifestyle that pleases you.
Okay. So how can someone get to that point? Because, you know, I personally take part in having an outside business of selling relationship enhancement items. Now, where I would love to always have events associated with those that are married, it does not always happen that way. So with me promoting these items and sometimes promoting it to different populations per se, am I promoting that sense of masturbation for those that shouldn't be taking part in it?
Are you asking me? Are you promoting masturbation?
Yes.
So, pretty much.
Okay. And I appreciate your honesty. You know, because for a long time, you know, I've really truly not understood if masturbation was indeed a sin. And that's
it's
not.
It's like this. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. One thing about masturbation is when you masturbate, you're thinking about somebody. So usually a lot of times, especially from my past experience, and you can ask anybody that deals with masturbation, they're never thinking about if they are in a relationship, they're not thinking about their mate. They're thinking about somebody else. So now what happens is when you have sex with your mate, you're not even necessarily thinking about them, especially if they're not doing it the way you wanted to do. So now what you do is you resort back into that fantasy land of the person you was thinking about when you was masturbating. And that's not fair to your mate. It's not also fair. It also is unfair to you.
So does that apply the same, I guess, for pornography? Like for those that watch pornography?
Yes. If you ask any man or any woman, you think about it. When you watch porn, what you're going to do is when you have sex with your mate, you're going to begin to think about what you saw and compare yourself to that and try to measure up to that. And a lot of times, you're going to begin to visualize the person you've seen on the screen. And like I said before, it's not fair to your mate while you're having sex with them for you to be thinking about somebody else. And besides it being unfair to them, it's unfair to you.
Wow, that's very interesting that you share that, because I do know someone that partakes in pornography very often, and the explanation for them is that they don't necessarily want to sleep with anyone, but they like to engage in watching it.
Right. So, and then the next thing that happens is you take these images and you take what you just seen into the bedroom with you.
So those individuals that watch pornography, you think they're playing out what they actually saw? Like they're not actually being them intimately? They're being whoever they're attempting to portray from what they watched?
Right. They're trying to portray that. But also, it's like this, when a man, say if a man watches porn. So he's in, while he's watching porn, he's looking at the female. And now there's a connection that happens. Once again, it's a connection that happens. So now when he has sex with his wife, female, or his girlfriend, he's thinking about that female that he's seen on the television screen.
Wow. I'm sure that he's with a few more people than, you know,
so
even though they may not openly admit it. But
right. That's
hit home somewhere.
And if you ask any female, it's like, if you really be honest with yourself and ask a female, would you still have sex with a man if you knew he was thinking about another female?
We'll probably have that opportunity to ask some of our listeners. prior to the conclusion of the show. What about social media? You've got a lot of interesting things within your story as far as, you know, doing shows for someone of the likes of Nicki Minaj as well as P. Diddy. How do you think social media has either contributed positively or negatively to you being able to reunite with your girlfriend?
I'm trying to think your question.
A lot of us subscribe to Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat,
right,
depending on our ages. Do you, may have also been a hindrance to you and your girlfriend having to take a hiatus and, you know, getting things back to where they are now?
Right, yeah. One of the things I did when I first began to change my life around, I cut everything off. I could say mute, like the things I used to really entertain myself with as far as the social media, I spent a good amount of time separate yourself from those things, because it's almost like you're cleansing your mind and while you're separated from them things, you're learning the truth and you're learning like what life is really about. But if you're still entertaining certain things, it's almost like it gets in the way of what you're learning. So I took about a year off from social media, just focusing on myself. I just wanted myself to be pure and just get away from all the old thoughts, everything that used to influence me from the past. I just really wanted to just focus on what was right, what was life really about. And social media plays a big part, especially if you're trying to change your life around. I would say just spend some time alone off of social media and just really focus on yourself and just begin to really learn, find out, spend time with God. And just as you spend time with God, God begins to show you what life is really about. And that's what he did with me. That time I spun away from social media, I just really allowed God to show me what life was really about.
So for those that continue to have that struggle with social media being such a nemesis, for their relationship, what exactly would you suggest? Do you suggest that both of them come off of social media? Do you suggest that they limit each other on each other's pages? Do you suggest the person not necessarily personalizing what is seen on the other person's page? What's your male perspective on that?
It really boils down to what does the individual want? For instance, some people wake up and they just jump right on social media. Now, granted, I got my moments when I do it, and I'd be having to check myself, like, why am I waking up jumping right to social media? And it ain't like I see things that motivate me. Most of the time, it's negative. But if it really boils down to the individual, like you gotta ask yourself, what do I want out of life? And once you figure out what you want out of life, it will begin to determine and dictate what you entertain. If I want to get in shape, I don't got time to be looking at food commercials. I don't got time to be entertaining fast food. It could be a commercial, an ad, a magazine, whatever. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So it really boils down to what do you want out of your relationship? What do you want out of life for yourself? And then once you figure out what you want, it will begin to allow you to discipline yourself to do the things that you want, what you want to do. Does that answer your question?
It does. I guess the other question that I may have, and then I'm going to open up the floor to the guests that are listening. How much stock should you put into your partner's or your mate's social media pages? Because you know, a lot of times, especially now, people are using other people's pages to destroy relationships. to make it seem or make it seem there when it really is not.
It really, bro, really, do you, you said stock, right? Like stock me page and stuff?
Say it again.
Hello? You said stock me page?
No, not stock me page. You know, say you're out somewhere and you take a picture with someone and there's someone of the opposite sex. And you put that on your page, and it happens to be liked by one, the person in the picture, as well as maybe possibly their entourage that knows that that picture is just nothing but a picture, but it's beefed up as, oh, this is who, like, claiming stock on someone, knowing that you're not really with them. Like, you're just using that to get under the other person's skin.
Okay. And you said, like, how would that affect a relationship and how can relationships avoid that?
Right.
It really boils down to you and your mate should have a clear understanding. And, I mean, like, for me and my girlfriend, we talk about everything. What bothers us, how we feel about different things, what I'm about to do, where I'm going. And if it's almost like, you just got to have, what's the word I'm looking for? A clear understanding between you and your mate. If I'm about to go somewhere and meet with a female, I'm going to tell my girlfriend. Or if she's about to go meet with a male, she's going to tell me. So it's really having a clear, understanding of each other. And besides me, if I was to see a picture with her and somebody else, I'm not going to trip because I trust her, and not necessarily just trust her. I trust my girlfriend, but I trust my relationship with God. You see what I'm saying? Like, there will be times where I've been about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, God begins to teach me and my girlfriend how to be together. For instance, one time I was talking to a female and it began to go the wrong way. And like, and my mind just would go different ways. And one time God told me, you treat, what did he say? Hold on, give me 1 second. That's what he said to me. He said, you talk to her as if she's right next to her, as if tomorrow is right next to you. And I heard God clear. So it was like, when I speak to a female or when she talks to a male, she talks to them in a way of as if I'm there. But besides that, it really boils back down to our relationship with God. I don't got time to be entertaining other people or trying to cheat or trying to flirt because it's not going to lead to nothing good.
That's an interesting concept. Now, what if the relationship has title? It just has an understanding, like you and that individual know what's going on, but others don't.